Hello, this is Bradley from Jackson County Baptist Church. Today's message is from Pastor Boer, and it is entitled, Rejoice Evermore.
Well, thank you so much. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 5, we're continuing our study and our series in the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians as we continue our series. We've gotten to the back of the book, the very ending of the book of 1 Thessalonians. As we find the end of the book of 1 Thessalonians, we find that as Paul is closing out this epistle, this letter to the folks who live there in Thessalonica, that he's taught a lot of great truths. He's taught about that second coming. He's taught them about how to treat one another. He's taught them about how a church ought to operate, those type things. And so he's taught all these things. And at the end, he's going to now begin kind of a rapid fire, just several exhortations, exhortations, and several things to say, do this, do this, do this, do this. As a matter of fact, we're going to look today at one verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 16. Now, in our English Bible, the shortest verse in the whole Bible is John 11:35. Jesus wept. And if you say, I have trouble memorizing Scripture, start with John 11:35, okay? And you'll do pretty well. But in the Greek New Testament, just because of spelling and different things, this verse, there's less letters in the Greek words for this one than the Greek words for Jesus wept. This is the shortest verse. I know what some of you are thinking. Is this going to be the shortest sermon? Doubtful. But there's always hope, okay? But 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 16, if you found it and are able, would you stand with me as we read the Word of God together? Again, it just to give you context and to give you some context about what's coming next, I'm going to read a few verses. We left off last week with verse number 15. See that none render evil for evil to any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Our verse for today is this: rejoice evermore. The next several verses we'll look at over the next coming weeks are: pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. So look at several of these verses. We want to hone in on this simple verse today: rejoice evermore. Let's pray together if we could. Heavenly Father, thank you for today, and thank you for your word, and we thank you for time to look into it. And Lord, I pray through your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would illuminate this word in our hearts. Help us to understand it. And Father, help us to have the wisdom to obey it, live it. And Lord, this is like all of your word, Father. It's often easy to know what it's saying, Lord, but sometimes it's hard to put it in action in our lives. We pray today that you'd help this to be something we put into action in our lives. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Rejoice evermore. You realize this, that in any group of people, whether it's a family, whether it's a church, whether it's a workplace, there's always the people that can find the worst in every situation. It's all you can. They're always there. I mean, you can have somebody at a big picnic, and everybody's having fun. You got the one person who's grumpy about it. Matter of fact, they said this about Charlie Brown. If you remember the Charlie Brown Christmas special, Linus said to Charlie Brown, he was all ho hum about it, and Linus said, Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem. Charlie Brown was like that sometimes, and sometimes we're like that as well. We take the great things in life and the encouraging things in life, and we put those aside. Too often we write God's blessings in sand and our hurts in stone. And we forget about the things we should rejoice about and be encouraged about, and we forget about the things that are uplifting and encouraging. But we find this passage of Scripture here. It is not a request. It is not a, well, we should. You find this, that it is in the form of a challenge. And it is the form of a directive. We are to rejoice evermore. And we're challenged as Christians to have a spirit of rejoicing. We've been studying in our Sunday school class the fruit of the Spirit. And the second fruit of the Spirit is, first one is love, the second one is joy. And there ought to be something about a Christian that even if we have surroundings around us that aren't the best things that we could schedule and aren't what we wish everything should be, there ought to be something inside of us as Christians that says, hey, wait a second, what God has done on the inside of me and what God has changed on the inside of me, I can always rejoice about, even if the things that surround me aren't as pleasant or as encouraging as I wish they were. Because we know this, that as Christians, we have a faithful and everlasting God who indwells us and lives in us, who leads us, who cares about us. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. And yes, times get troubling, and yes, times get rough, but really this, we are commanded, rejoice evermore. Now, that's good preaching. Amen. It's going to be hard living at about the time we say amen and get out the door. But if at least we have this understanding, this is what God wants for our lives, and this is God's challenge for our lives, that we can say, hey, look, I know what direction I'm headed. We may, you know, the journey of a Christian and a Christian life is never about where we are today. It's about where we're headed on our journey. And if we get in our hearts today, look, I'm not always joyful. I get discouraged. And by the way, you'll find all throughout the Scripture that discouragement, depression, the best of men throughout the Scriptures dealt with those things. Those are real things. And you say, well, if I'm a Christian, I'll never be discouraged or depressed. No. But if you're a Christian, you should realize this. I need to work to be encouraged and rejoice. Because God has a heart for me, and God has a plan for my life. So notice, if you would, a couple of things. Now, would you write a few things down? First of all, this, write down this. What are the benefits of rejoicing? If I want to rejoice evermore, well, what good is going to come from that? What good is going to come from that? Am I going to get anything out of it for me? Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, just simply this. If we rejoice evermore, can I give you just a little, this is a duh statement, but you'll have more fun. if you'll learn to love life and love the life that God gave you, it is a gift from God. We only get one life to live. Hey, might as well say, I'm going to enjoy it and have fun with it. And it is more fun. We talked about the men, and I appreciate Miss Sarah's comment. It's a great thing to know that men can have fun outside their home. It's great to know that men can have fun. By the way, it was good, godly, clean fun. It's great to know that men can have fun when our wives are not around. And we did. We had a good time, and men joked and cut up and all that kind of stuff, and there were serious times. But wouldn't you rather live life that way? Encouraged and enjoying life? Can I tell you this, and this is not really, here's what the Bible says. The letter B is this. It gives you medical help. You say, well, is this the doctor's office or church? Well, it's church. But can I tell you this? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 22, you probably know the verse, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. There's something inside of us that reminds us and tells us, hey, look, what we do on the inside affects the outside. And I'm thankful for doctors, and I know they're all still practicing. They, you know, none of them are perfect, but I'm thankful for all they did and all they've learned really since World War II. You think about all the medical things. I'm grateful for all that. But there's still, because we are created by God and we are not, listen, this world that we touch and see is not all there is. There is a spirit world that we have a soul. And when you look at me, you're looking at part of me, but you're not seeing all of me, because really the majority of me, who I really am, is in my spirit, in my soul. And when I have a merry heart, and when my spirit rejoices, and when my soul rejoices, it helps the other parts of me, i.e. my ugly part, my body. It matters to have a joyful spirit. You know, Charles Spurgeon said this. Let me give you a quote from him. There is a marvelous medicinal power in joy. Most medicines are distasteful. Ipecac, castor oil. I mean, come on. Most medicines are distasteful. But this, which is the best of all medicines, is sweet to the taste and comforting to the heart. This blessed joy is very contagious. One dolorous, I guess that means happy in Old English, whatever. Dolorous spirit brings a kind of plague into the house. But one person who is wretched seems to stop all the birds from singing everywhere he goes. But the grace of joy is contagious. Holy joy will oil the wheels of life's machinery. Holy joy will strengthen your daily labor. Holy joy will beautify you and give you an influence over the lives of others. We had a little plaque that we bought for my daughter when she was, I don't know, six, seven. I love to embarrass my daughter in front of people. It's just, dads live for this kind of thing, right? But I think it said this. She may correct me later. But the little plaque said something like this. Happy girls are the prettiest. Is that what it said? All right, I got something right in my life. Amen. Happy girls are the prettiest. Because what happens on the inside affects the outside. And it's medicinal. And it encourages you to help you. Now look, if you're dealing with some chronic thing, I'm not telling you that it's going to, I don't want to be flippant about it, but I'm not going to tell you if you get happy, it's going to cure cancer if you've got cancer. I'm not saying that. But I am saying this, that your spirit and your joy has an effect on your overall body and how you live your life. And so don't drag around and don't be discouraged around. Man, have a good, joyful spirit about you. There's even an instance by a guy by the name of Norman Cousins. This is a true story I happened not many years ago. Norman Cousins was hospitalized with a rare, crippling form of arthritis. This particular form of arthritis was diagnosed as curable. Norman Cousins checked himself out of the hospital. Now, he was aware of a handful of effects that negative emotions can have in the body, so he said, I'm they can't help me in the hospital. I'm going to check out. I'm going to prescribe myself something. So this was several years ago, so he borrowed himself a movie projector and prescribed his own treatment. He watched Marx Brothers films. He watched old candid camera reruns. Some of you may still know what that is. I don't know how to describe that for young people. Candid camera. Anyway, they trick you into doing something in front of a camera. All right. So he watched old candid camera reruns. It didn't take long for him to discover that 10 minutes of laughter provided about 2 hours of pain-free sleep. Now, they're going to publish this. They're going to give an account of this in the New England Journal of Medicine. It was several years ago. And they published this in the New England Journal of Medicine. And when he did it, he got 3,000 letters from doctors telling him how thankful they were for his testimony. And really, this is not some hocus pocus, if you're happy, all your diseases go away. That's not it. But it does influence and affect even your body. It gives you medical help. So rejoice evermore. It gives you more fun. Why not? It gives you medical help. Also this, it's not an end, but it improves your neighbors. Can I tell you this? If all your neighbors know about you is that you have the toughest life that ever was lived and you're the only Christian they know, what do you think that's going to say about the gospel? But if they know you have heartaches and struggles, but you still have a good spirit, and not every day do you walk in with rainbows blinking over your head, but you normally walk in with an excited spirit and happy about life, they can tell something is different about you, and it has an impact on people around you. It influences them. So rejoice evermore. How about this? How about the sources of rejoicing? So where do I get this joy? And the cynic may say, I don't know. I don't have any place for this joy. I don't know where you get this joy. And I have bills to do. That doesn't make me happy. And I'm behind on payments, and that doesn't make me happy. And you don't know what my husband or wife said to me. That didn't make me happy. You don't know my kids. You don't have to live with them. And somebody may say, my mother-in-law lives with me. Oh, no, I can never be happy. I don't know. Where do you get this kind of thing? Well, where do you get joy? Let's look at some scriptural things if we could. First of all, I want to say to you this, that there are some shameful sources where you can get joy. Some things that won't last. The Bible says this, there is pleasure in sin for a season. You can find some things. I won't take the time to have you turn there. But I'll give you a couple verses, just a couple things you find in the Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, tells us to rejoice not in iniquity. You get your, if you get your joy from the dirty jokes at work, that's not a good place to get it. It won't last long. If you get your joy from things that would be displeasing to the Lord, don't have that kind of humor. You know, we had a men's conference yesterday and the day before. How many of you know that in a place other than a church, a men's conference would quickly delve into something that was guttural, vulgar? We purposely did not do that, of course. So many people find their joy and their funny things from things that are vulgar. And you think about comedy is about dead. Nobody's allowed to do comedy anymore. But you think about even comedians from years gone by, that how hard it was to find one that told something clean. That you could listen to them for about 5 or 10 minutes and they were funny and clean at the same time. Don't pull your rejoicing from things that are vulgar and ungodly. 2 Corinthians 13:6 says, "It rejoiceth not in iniquity." James 4:16 says, "Don't rejoice in your boasting." And Zephaniah 3:11 says, "Don't rejoice in pride." But there are some shameful sources. But there's also some supporting sources. What are some things in the Bible that God says, Here's some great places to find joy? And there's no blanks for these. You can pencil these down if you want to. Just make a mental note of them if you want to. Here's an interesting thing. It tells us in Acts chapter 5, verse 11, and Luke chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, it talks about that they joyed in suffering for Him. That doesn't make any sense. But they had joy when they suffered to be like Jesus. They thought, you know what? The Lord did all this for us. Maybe I can do something for Him. It's kind of like a child. It's kind of like a child who has their mom and dad raise them all their life. Watch their mom and dad work hard. And watch their mom and dad provide for them. And their mom and dad gets down to the end of life and they're having a hard time. And the child works hard and they help mom and dad pay off the home. Or they do something nice for mom and dad. And mom and dad says, "Hey, look, you didn't have to do all that for me." And the child would say, "No, mom and dad. It was a joy to do this for you because of all you've done for me." And when it comes to the times we suffer for the Lord Jesus, it ought to be, you know what? I don't like suffering, but because of all Jesus suffered for me, it's a privilege to do a little bit for Him. So suffering is mentioned as a joy in the Bible. The Bible tells us in 2 John chapter number 1, verse number 3, that He has no greater joy than to hear that His children walk in truth. And when you have your own children or people you care about and they're living for God, man, you get a lot of joy from that. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 4 tells us when our labor is finished, we can have joy in that. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 12, that we can have joy in a clear conscience. Now, there's no blank for that, but that might be worth writing down. Some people don't have joy because they're always discouraged, because they're stuck in a cycle of sin. And they're under all this conviction and they can't get victory over it. Man, when you get right with God, you have a clear heart and a clear conscience, woo, it's exciting. John chapter 4, verse 36 talks about we get to have a part in the work of God that ought to bring joy in our life. But I want to give you this one as well. Psalm 126, verse number 6 says this, "They that sow in tears," talk about witnessing and telling other people how they can be saved, "those that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Hey, look, you want to go down to the clinic of Rejoice Evermore and get just a double XL shot of happiness and joy in your life? You take your Bible and you open it and you show somebody else this is what it means to get saved. This is what it means. Hey, look, I know we're all sinners. The Bible says it pretty clearly. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I want you to know that even though you're a sinner and that you deserve hell, Jesus Christ died to save you. And you watch that truth sink down into their heart. And then you say to them, would you like to pray and ask Jesus to save you? And you watch a little water well up in their eyes and a little tear roll out of their eyes. And then realize that all of the things they've been guilty about and felt horrible about for years, that he'll forgive every one of them. And then listen to their sweet prayer and say, just something simple. Well, Jesus, best I know how, I want to ask you to save me. You talk about joy. Look, we'll have to tie a string to your ankle for the next week or two because you'll float around everywhere you go. There's nothing like the joy that comes from leading somebody to Christ. Hey, I tell you, look, you can get a joy from a lot of sources. And by the way, don't let the devil steal your joy from you. Oh, he'd like to. Oh, he would love to. He is the joy thief, and he steals the word of God, but he also loves to steal our joy. Can I tell you this? There's a supplemental source, a supporting source, but can I tell you, letter C is this? There is a solid source to get your joy from. Hey, I love leading people to Christ. I don't do it enough. May God help me do it more. Can't always lead somebody to Christ. Can't always be excited about the work of God. It's not always going right, but I tell you what, there is a solid source. Because the challenge is this, to rejoice how long? Evermore. So if you're challenged to rejoice evermore, shouldn't you have to base that on something that's going to last forevermore? There's a solid source. You could probably jump up here in the pulpit and explain it yourself, but it's God Himself. I tell you, He is worth rejoicing over. Can I give you a couple of things? Look, your creature comforts aren't rejoicing evermore. You got a great car. I'm so excited for you. I have bad news for you. It's going to break here pretty soon. I hate to be a downer like that. Hey, you say, you know what? I rejoice over my great house I live in. I'm excited for you. You know what's going to happen? You're going to have to spray paint that thing or paint it or pressure wash it pretty soon. But God never changes. Can I give you a couple things? Just a couple scriptural things. I'm going to give you a little thought. Write down what you want. But I left you a little room there so you can pencil about why. Why does the Bible say? Not what does this preacher say? What can we come up out of our head? In the Bible, what does God say we should rejoice over? First of all, I want you to note, there's no blanks for this, but you may notice them. First of all, we rejoice because He protects us. Psalm 28, verse number 7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth. And my song will I praise Him." Man, He protects us. Do you realize we live such a blessed and really a sheltered life? We don't think we do because we have troubles, but there are so many things that God takes care of that we don't even know. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you are motorcycle riders? Have you got any motorcycle riders in here? One. All right. Very good. Have you ever ridden somewhere without the windshield of your motorcycle and without a helmet? It's horrible. You didn't know that there was that many bugs in the world, I promise you. And you definitely don't want to go down to Florida in March without a windshield and without a helmet. You will have a love bug face. I mean, they're everywhere. And so you jump on your motorcycle and you take off. I found this out. I'm not a motorcycle rider either. But I remember one time I was getting my old car, getting some body work done on it, and because I'm cheap, I didn't want to have to pay to get it towed from the glass shop down to the body shop, so I said, hey, take the glass out of the glass shop, the body shop's just a couple miles away, I'll drive it down there, save me $50 tow bill, amen? And so I get in it from the glass shop, they're taking it out, they're going to work on the body, and I drive it down there, and all of a sudden, I mean, I'm going like 20 miles an hour, and things are flying in that windshield and hitting me in the face, and I'm trying to look sideways, and I'm going like 20 miles an hour. I mean, we don't know the things that we're protected from. And can I tell you that it's the same way with God? Next time you jump in your car, you drive down the road, you don't get hit in the eye of the bug, just think about all the things God's protecting you from and you don't even know it. He protects us. He's our shield. He also this, we can rejoice in Him because He's perfect. You get excited about perfect things? You get excited when you ladies cook a meal and it looks perfect. Get excited about that. You guys do a project at home and you build you a little bench, or you do something at home and you step back and you look at it and say, ooh, that's perfect. You get excited about that. Can I tell you this? There's a God in heaven who's perfect. And every time you take a step back and look at Him, no flaw. Never changes. Look, if you will, or you don't have to turn there, but Psalm 105, verse number 3 says this, glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. I'll also tell you this. There's another reason to rejoice. Not only is He perfect, but also this, He's in control. Now, you better be careful as a Christian, because sometimes we want to take control. We want to do things our way. Not smart on us. But we do it every day. I do it. I think, oh man, I've got to let God take care of that. The Bible says in Psalm 97, verse number 1, the Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad. See, God is in control of things. There's a story about Napoleon marching through an Austrian town. Napoleon has 18,000 men, and he's marching through this town. This is a little town that has no defense. And the town council decides they don't know what to do. And so since they can't defend themselves, they don't have an army, this 18,000 men, this is Napoleon, we're toast, they thought. But some elderly gentleman stood up and said, I want to remind you that tomorrow is Easter. And he stood up and said, tomorrow's Easter, and we want to just beg you. I know Napoleon's coming. But let's go, if this is our last day, might as well go ahead and worship God on our last day. This little Austrian town got up the next day, and they got there to pray, and they did just a, not meaningless, but routine thing for them. They rang the church bells. Easter service started, they rang the church bells, they're praying for God to spare their little town, and as those church bells rang, and those Austrian town folks were there, the French army heard the bells ringing, and they concluded that the Austrian army had come to relieve them. And thinking that the Austrian army had come to relieve them, the French jumped up early that morning, and to get out of the way of what they thought was the Austrian army, they fled the town and left that little town alone because they heard those church bells. Could those people have planned that? No. But God was in control. And it's amazing what when you have days that are discouraging and days that are doubtful and days that that lead to depression, I just want to encourage you this. I know those things are real, and everybody throughout all history, no matter how great a Christian, has had to face those things. But when you look depression and discouragement in the eye, remember the short little verse, rejoice evermore, and remind yourself that the Lord reigneth, therefore my heart rejoiceth. We also find this, He's perfect, He's in control, His word never changes. Psalm 119, 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. You find that He's going to avenge the persecuted. Revelation chapter 18, verse 2, and verses 20 and 21. He revenges and takes care, makes sure justice is done. Men are not very good at justice, especially right now. Got justice sideways and upside down, but not God. Those who deserve justice always get it. He'll avenge the persecuted. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 10, verse number 20, I love this one. It says, rejoice not that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice rather because your names are written in heaven. You want to rejoice about something? If you trusted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, your eternity is settled. I'm talking eternity. I'm talking if you had a chalkboard all the way across the front of this, and on this end down here on the chalkboard, you took just the smallest tip of a ballpoint pen and just made a mark on this end of the chalkboard. That little dot will represent your life. And all the way down through this chalkboard, and all the way over here, and all the way down this way, and all the way till you get down to the very, very end is going to represent eternity. And your fate and your life is sealed and settled for all of eternity. You never have to worry about it again. Is that worth rejoicing about? He saved you. By the way, if you're here today and you've never been saved, can I say this? That little dot on the wall that represents your 70 years or so of life. You say, it's not heading that way. It's heading. If you're on your way today to a miserable life and a crisis eternity in a real place called hell, can I tell you this? You can get saved today. And your eternity changes. We ought to rejoice about it. He saved you. Here's another one. How about this? He's returning someday. Psalm 96, verse number 11 says, let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that therein is. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. The Lord is coming back someday. It's going to be a good day. Also this, you can rejoice about. These are some solid sources because they're all based in God. Can I tell you this? You can rejoice in the fact of his relationship with you. Think about all those great things God is. He's perfect. He's just. He settles your eternity. And yet, he cares enough about you to listen to your prayer about anything. Anything. You got a little kid who prays and asks God to help keep their goldfish from getting sick? You say, that's a little prayer nobody cares about. God cares about. And look, goldfish, if you've ever had a goldfish, they don't last long, okay? So I'm not saying God panics when a goldfish dies. But I know this, that God cares about it when a little heart prays about it. If he'll pay attention to a little prayer like that, he'll pay attention to whatever prayer you've got. He wants a relationship with you. See, when the devil gets you discouraged, and the devil tempts you to depression, he makes you think nobody cares about you. He's a liar. He says, well, my own family doesn't care about me. Well, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Well, nobody at my work. If I didn't show up at work, nobody would care. Well, I don't know if that's true. The devil's probably lying. But if it is true, I'm sorry. I can't help you. Well, I used to have a bunch of friends, but they've all blocked me on Facebook. Now if I want to have a Facebook friend, I have to make a second account and friend myself. I'm sorry I can't help you there. But I tell you this. Your Heavenly Father still wants a relationship with you. He still cares about you. If that doesn't get you rejoicing, I don't know what will. I'll just give you this last one. It's just one little blank. We'll be done. But I just want to remind you, I've already mentioned it, but number three is the duration of rejoicing. Evermore. This little word, evermore, means this, at all times or always. So I'm not telling you that every Christian walks around with a smile on their face all the time, but I am telling you this, that we are commanded to rejoice, and we have a reason to rejoice. And when everything is going the opposite way, we've got an obligation to him for all he's done for us, to say, Lord, I'm changing his heart. I will rejoice evermore.
That was From the Pulpit of Jackson County Baptist Church. We hope that you enjoyed the message, and more importantly, we hope that you've grown closer in your walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God bless, and have a great day.